Welcome to the Bobble On Podcast,
where we're committed to providing practical advice and strategies to increase your revenue, unify your team, and create accountability throughout your organization.
Let's go. Season 2, episode.
I've already lost track.
6.
Okay.
Let's six. Go.
I was about to say six. Episode 6.
Of course.
Yeah, I was right there.
Exciting. Exciting. Having a good time going around the country and getting some feedback on our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, in the last 24 hours, we were in 3 states. Actually, within 20 minutes, we were in 3 states. 4 states. Well, yeah, technically.
Massachusetts, okay, West Virginia, Pennsylvania.
Ohio. Yeah. So, I mean, the great thing about, obviously, traveling the country is you get different perspectives. You get people from all over the country. You share different perspectives of what their experiences are in the insurance world, what their experiences are at being agency owners. And the conversations that ensue from that are awesome.
It's been fun. It's really cool. And what we're seeing a big problem across the country that how do we take care of our VIP clients? Mm. The VIP clients. But you might not know the VIP client we're talking about. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about our team.
Bingo.
Our employees.
Absolutely.
So our employees, and we've referred to this before, our employees' clients are our customers,
yep.
Right? Our clients. But our clients as the owners or leadership team or people are, you know, managers, that's our team. Those are our employees. We got to take good care of them.
And irreplaceable.
Not enough companies, not enough agencies, not enough companies in any industry focus enough on what they do for their team to keep them happy.
Well said. And to further define the VIP client aspect, you can make your agency different when you handle VIP, meaning the people who pay you the most or who you make the most revenue off of versus not. But even if a VIP client leaves you, you can always find another one.
Mm-hmm.
There's always more businesses. But your true VIP client, as you said, are your employees. You cannot replace them.
Yeah.
You can't.
I mean, whatever your goals are, if you don't have a team that wants to run through walls to get the entire organization to that goal, you got no chance. There's only so much you can carry on your own. And you need your VIP team members to feel engaged, to feel important and valued, to feel like they matter on a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis, and that you're taking good care of them.
Yep, agreed.
So this week we're gonna dive into that.
Personal best, Matthew, last 7 days.
Personal best, my parents visited. They were in Maine for a week, and on the way home down to Maryland where they live, they swung by and spent the entire weekend with Sadie and myself and Belle. We enjoyed a lot of quality time. Don't get to see them enough. So it was nice to spend some good quality time with them and talk to them really about the pending baby. And like, you know, it's on its way, and their perspective is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
To see them excited about having their first grandkid.
That's awesome.
So.
That's cool. Where did you take them to eat?
We did a variety of things. Yeah. I mean,
did you do bar taco?
We did not do bar taco. I wanted to do bar taco, but it's like a 3-hour wait. I think everyone's listening to our podcast and then going to bar taco. it's causing delays at these. We grilled out twice.
Oh,
and,
great!
That was fun.
That's cool.
Some salmon and some asparagus and some sweet potatoes.
Keep it healthy.
Some corn.
Clean.
Yeah.
Ooh, corn though.
Yeah.
You had me before corn, but we grilled corn this weekend too.
It's corn on the cob on the grill. It's like pretty diesel.
It's money.
Yeah.
So
your personal best.
Personal best for me. Last 7 days, when I look back, it's got to be Emma going to her first day of preschool. She is now, so Emma and Mason both go to the same daycare. Mason is in pre-K. Emma is now in preschool. So they actually share a wall and they walk in together, and it is so cool dropping them off because Mason's superpower is definitely caring. That's what he leads with. And to just see him, my best one of the week is to definitely see him like walk, see his room at pre-K and look in, see all of his friends that he wants to hang out, and then go to the other room and sit down and hang out with Emma and eat breakfast with Emma and then leave and go see his friends.
Mm.
It's like so man, it like broke my heart. I was like, this is unbelievable. Such a cool kid. So Emma is in preschool.
That's cool that they're next door to each other.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's super convenient.
It's really cool.
Convenient for them, but really convenient for the parents.
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah, so divide.
It's cool, man. They're growing.
That's cool.
All right, VIP client. Okay, so this is gonna be a three-part series. We're gonna have a little bit of fun with this one. But the first one, we're really just gonna debunk some general myths about how entrepreneurs out there and managers out there are taking care of their employees. And let's just chat about like the value your employees might really think of these. Mm-hmm. And one thing that when you and I travel across the country, we hear a lot is, I have a great benefits package. Mm-hmm. You know, I have matching 401k, I have the best health insurance people can provide, and I actually pay 50% of the health insurance or mm-hmm. whatever they might pay. How do employees view that?
Yeah, I think there's value, and then there's perceived value, and mm-hmm. that is valuable. Like, we absolutely need to offer benefits to our employees. The companies that don't do that are like way behind.
Yep.
But it's kind of like the way we look at our clients or our customers who are insureds view us servicing their account. It's like, it's kind of like par for the course. It's like, yeah, I call up, I need you to service my account. I'm not going to be wowed by because you added a car to my policy.
No, it's so pay for play.
Yeah, same thing with our team. It's like, yeah, it's good to have a better benefits package than not, but that's not like why someone's going to work for you and want to really run through walls for you.
Yeah, you're so dead on. I mean, as I have not been across the country and had one manager or one entrepreneur say, hey, my highlight for the week was Sally came up and gave me a high five because she checked her 401k balance and it's like way up and she's mm-hmm. so excited. No.
Yeah.
No one cares. You're right. It's pay for play. And if you put, if they take their valuable money and put it in, then you're matching it. It's just like, it's so pay for play. The system just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And they don't really necessarily care about the benefits package. Like you said, it always could be better. Mm-hmm. You always could pay more.
Exactly.
You always could match more.
And it's challenging for small businesses to compete with a Fortune 100 company sometimes. The strength that they have in numbers and just what they can leverage.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's kind of like you need to have it in place, but it's one of those myths of why someone wants to really, really work for you and why they want to, you know, run through walls for you. And
absolutely.
It kind of goes hand in hand with the second one we talked about, which is pay.
Pay. We see entrepreneurs brag about this all the time. Yeah. My team is the best paid team.
Yeah.
Look at the studies that show the average pay and look how much I pay. Mm-hmm. But we see that, right?
Yeah, on forums,
we see that when we meet with people.
It's also a common question that we hear. It's like, what is your salary? What is your compensation plan?
What do you pay?
How do you structure this? How much is the base salary? Oh, wow, that's all you pay? Or, wow, that's way more than I would pay. Mm-hmm. And we're not, again, same thing with benefits. Like, if you're underpaying somebody for the work that they're doing, it's a non-starter.
How do you sleep at night?
Yeah, they're just not going to want to work for you and not going to work for you long term. So we're not saying that it's not important. We're just saying that at a certain point, once you've met that need, it's not going to get them to really love working for you.
Nope.
It's not going to make them say, they're not going to run around to their friends being like, I get 10% more than my average role across the industry.
Yeah. No, they're not going to go on monster.com, look at the average cost of a CSR, and either then come to you and show it to you. That actually might be a really disgruntled employee for 17 reasons. But pay and benefits does not mean taking care of your most valuable asset. It's just something you have to do well. You have to give at average or above average or exceptional pay. You cannot be below, as you mm-hmm. said, and you have to be the same with the benefit plan, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the mistake is that we look, as a lot of owners, they look at their team and say, what can I give them to make them want to work here and make them want to be valued in teammates.
So true.
Opposed to what can I do for them?
Here's my watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a huge difference, right? What can I give them that goes one day? What can I do for them can last their entire career?
Yep. And the last one, which is a little bit more of a trend that we're seeing across the industries as well, mm-hmm. is a casual work environment. Mm-hmm. And the casual work environment, it has its pros. It seems to be working for a lot of companies out there. But again, that's not really taking care of your team. It's just your idea of how you might want to come off or how you might want to make your office look.
Yeah.
It's your decision.
Yeah.
If you have a formal workplace environment or a casual with couches and, espresso machines. That's your call.
Yeah. As long as it matches your culture, like, why not? Like, it makes sense. And if your team's asking for it, fantastic.
Good.
But it is kind of just, again, baseline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, baseline. It's like, you should have a decent place where I'm sitting all day long.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. So let's talk about what does matter. Okay. So that doesn't really matter too much. So as we go across the country and we talk about this topic, the very first thing people say is, I don't have time for that. I'm not going to have time for this. So we're asking you as we go through this podcast, don't try to imagine like, how would I fit this in? Just tell yourself, what would it look like if I got some of these things done for my employees? If my employees got all of these things that we mentioned, how would they feel? Mm-hmm. How would the work look like? And the very first one that we think of is daily interactions with every single member on your team, if possible. And the caveat is, if possible, not by email.
Right. Yeah.
Not by email.
Yeah, I think, whether it's texts that are casual, whether it's a phone call, whether, you know, ideally in person, you're right to preface this topic by saying, like, don't run towards, I could not do that, or how could I possibly do that? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be you. If you're listening to this, and this sounds exciting to you, and sounds like it would be valuable, well, maybe it's not you that does it. That doesn't really matter. It matters that it's done.
You might not be the best person on your team to do it.
Right.
Because you might only do it just to check it off you did it.
Right.
This person, to your point, has to have very, very high levels of empathy, and they have to be very curious and interested. Or else the engagements don't matter.
Yeah, and so these engagements, and we're not talking about, hey, last week you processed an awesome transaction, and you know, want to make sure that you get rewarded for that, or the recognition you deserve. This is really like what's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is our work family. We spend more time with these employees than we do sometimes with our own family, and yet we don't go there. We don't get to know them as well as we should.
We don't make that bridge. This is not a mass text of like, how was your weekend?
Oh, no. God, no. Yeah. No, no, no.
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 This is in person. So, you know, you and I are literally practicing this without even thinking about it when we do the personal best to start the podcast. It's because we care about each other. Mm-hmm. And we have to care about our teams in the exact same way. You need to do these. And it'd be so great if the entrepreneur could, but like you said, anyone on the team could be in charge of this if you have a bigger team. Care about the engagements and get that next level. Get to that next level of what is going on in their personal life and how can I help them?
Yeah, in the same way that we ask our referral partners open-ended questions, should be the same way we do it with our team members.
Bingo.
Because when you ask close-ended yes-no questions, like you're only gonna get a yes or no, and that doesn't facilitate an engagement.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
I noticed, I looked like you went to, you know, the movies. Was it a good movie? Like, it's just not going to work. But take that extra step and say, like, well, why did you choose that movie? What did your kids love the movie? Like, it looked like, do you get to do the movies often? Like, is this something you're trying to do consistent? Like, and just get a little bit deeper with your team members. I think they really appreciate it. Just a little step like that.
They absolutely would. They absolutely would. And when you do that, you're really trying to figure out, and this is a little bit into another topic in there, you're trying to figure out who this person is at their core and bring that whole self to work. When you can find out who they are, what they're curious about, what they like doing on the weekends, what they like doing at night, then if they come to you and say like, hey, I need to leave at 4 o'clock because I gotta do XYZ, you probably already know about it. Mm. Like you might already know that she has, her son is going through issues at school. Maybe they're dealing with bullying. Maybe they're dealing with, you know, bus routines not being well. Who cares? Mm. You're gonna find out a little bit deeper about it. And then when they ask for something so trivial, you're not gonna be like, oh, I really need you till 5. It's like, no. Like, I know what you're going through. Get out of here at 3:30.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
That is going to be really taking care of your VIP clients.
Yeah. And I think that when you said that, what comes to mind is, you know, the more you can allow them to be themselves at work, the less they look at this as work.
Bingo.
Right? I mean, they're going to come to work with the same type of mentality and say, I can live my true self, my own self, like whether I'm at home with my kids or here at work. Mm. Yeah, I'm doing a different task, but I feel like I can be myself.
Mm. I like that. Yeah. And you know, the second point that we want to make, and they relate, is we focus a lot on employees' weaknesses as entrepreneurs. You look and you evaluate your teammates and you try to almost bring their weaknesses up. But as entrepreneurs and managers, sometimes we only focus on our strengths. Mm-hmm. our team should be focusing on our strengths, and we should be trying to complement their weaknesses with other people or other processes or virtual assistants or automation or whatever. Mm. So the other way to really take care of your VIP clients is to focus on their strengths and reward and recognize their strengths.
Yeah, and recognize the strengths is such an important one. Yeah. And we talk about this with our clients all the time. It's like we're super specific, right, with what someone's doing wrong or mm. what we need them to change, but then we don't even emphasize what they're doing well. And we, you know, there's so many studies out there about, you know, the number of compliments, number of like specific, you know, genuine compliments you can give someone about what they're doing well has to be like 4 or 5x what you actually tell them that could be, you know, mm-hmm. what could be worked on. Mm. And it's the same thing with our team members. Like, we need to be really, really focused on what they're doing well and why that matters, why that matters to the agency or the company before then we go out to also give critical feedback. Mm.
That's well said. I watched a video on Instagram or YouTube, I forget, like half a year ago, and it was no sound. And it showed this video of the first half of it is someone giving a critical, something critical about the person, not necessarily overly negative, but I don't like the, you know, why don't you button all the way up, or, you know, what something critical about them, like why aren't you wearing a watch, whatever. And it just showed their face, and they kind of like looked down and they kind of like slumped their shoulders a little bit, and they just showed their reactions. The second half of the video, the only difference was they said, you're beautiful, and they didn't say anything else. So it's like, Matt, you're beautiful, nothing else. And it just showed the smile. And it's just so interesting to watch critical feedback and just watch it, and positive feedback, and this light up. Mm. And so to our point here, if we could help entrepreneurs and managers just 5x the amount of good specific feedback, what if your team felt that?
Yeah.
What a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
Then who cares about the benefits package?
Yeah, yeah. It does require investment and time, but it's probably the most important thing you could do for your company. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're whether you have 3 people working for you or 300, the more specific you can be about what matters, you know, which is really like what they're really good at and, mm-hmm. and what they're doing on behalf of your company and what you're doing, they're doing on behalf of your clients that are so wonderful. It's like, my God, where else would you want to work?
Totally.
You know, yeah, your benefits could be different. You could make an extra 10 grand a year, but you're not going to get that type of engagement.
No,
that's something that even Fortune 100 companies can't compete with, you know?
No.
You don't see a CEO at a Fortune 100 company engaging with 4,000 people a day or a
week. They can't be nimble.
That's where you can compete. You can compete on the personal side.
Yeah, that's your differentiating factor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and for the couple thousand people that are listening, just be clear, don't go up to your employees tomorrow and tell them they're beautiful. Think of something different. But the point is
you're
valid.
Beautiful.
I listen to this podcast.
Jimmy.
I just want to tell you you're beautiful.
Yeah, Jimmy, Matt and Zach said, I think that they think it's important if I tell you you're beautiful, you're beautiful.
Jimmy, why aren't you smiling? And they said that you'd smile.
There was a YouTube video.
and the last one, giving 3 tips, again, coming back, specific, focus on the strengths, good feedback, consistent every single day engagements, text, call, etc. The very last one, we are near and dear with this, is handwritten notes. Mm-hmm. We believe that it is critical to give a handwritten note every once in a while on non-pay-for-play days. Mm-hmm. How we look at this is if you give your wife or girlfriend roses on Valentine's Day, it's relatively expected, while it is incredibly nice. Mm-hmm. We're looking for the randomness of a handwritten note.
Yeah, if you get a handwritten note on your anniversary of being an employee at a company, it is nice.
Very
nice.
You
feel good about it, you go home, but it's almost like, well, yeah, I've been loyal and I've been here for a number of years. This is my anniversary, like I should get some type of recognition for being here. Mm. But if you get on some random Wednesday in July when your anniversary's in December, and it wasn't because you had an exceptional week, it just happened because you did something really, you know, strong for your team or strong for your partner or whatever, it's
perfect.
Special.
I mean, a good to-do for everybody listening out there, go out in your office after this and listen to anyone's phone call. Just overhear who they're talking to, what are they doing. Okay, they're talking to Bob. Bob wants to pay a bill, whatever. Listen specifically to how they laugh, they smile when they're on the phone, they're super engaged, how they ended the phone call. Get something specific from it. Write a handwritten note just on that phone call and just watch how it transforms that person's day. Mm-hmm. They will love it.
Yeah.
And it's just so random.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be perfect. That person will rave about it to everybody they talk to that day. And it's just simple to do.
Most business owners, most managers, most leaders, they want their team to enjoy where they're working. They just sometimes don't know how to get them to feel that way. Mm. And the consistency, which is why we started with that point, is so much more important than like the actual minutia of how you show appreciation and gratitude and how you reward and how you recognize. So the consistency is like, if there's any other thing to really like hammer home here is like, build it into your calendar. Like, yes, you're not gonna write out what you're going to do, but just you need to have constant reminders weekly why this is so important and to actually execute it. Because you don't wanna go 3 or 4 weeks, just like we talk about with referral partners. You don't wanna forget about connecting with referral partners for a month and then realize, wow, referrals are down. Well, you don't wanna forget about engaging with your employees and giving them genuine feedback and appreciation and gratitude for a month and then realize why is morale down? Why is morale down and why are these issues popping up?
Yeah.
So throw it in your calendar. Just have daily, weekly reminders.
Simple step to execute. Mm-hmm. So we're talking, so when you look back, we're focusing on daily engagements, helping the team with focus on their strengths with positive, specific feedback, and then writing some handwritten notes. This is not rocket science. This is basic how to keep relationships. You would do the exact same thing at home. Mm-hmm. Do it at your work is all we're saying. Build it into your calendar is an excellent idea and one that they should take from this. But the best part is this is a 3-part series.
Wow.
We have two more coming.
I'm on the edge of my seat already, actually.
No, you're on the back
of
it.
No, I'm not. Now I'm on the edge of my seat. Woo! What's gonna happen next?
Straight fire right now.
Well, our people are the most important asset, right? Yep. And so we need to spend some time on this. This is constant questions we get from listeners and people engaging and saying like, hey, like, I'm not finding enough time. I have these consistent people issues that keep popping up and I feel like I'm not as connected with my team as I should be. Mm. Like how can I get there?
How do I make this the best place to work?
Today is the first of three, but it's super important. Just show appreciation and gratitude consistently and build it in so that you can stay on top of it.
Season 2, episode 6.
Follow along.